Well, I really sense that there's an anointing on the Word today.
Yes.
You know, the last few Sundays, we've had a kind of a move in the Holy Ghost a little bit, you know. And so this morning, I guess He really wants me to focus in on the anointing is centered around the Word of God. Amen. And so that's where we'll go this morning. I really sensed it. If you have your Bibles, again, open up to Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Because it's our bread. It's what gives us spiritual growth. It causes us to grow up and to be what You intend for us to be. So, Father, today as we get into the area of Your Word, may everything I share and say be the wonderful fruit of the time that I spend with You, the anointing that You put on my life to help teach and instruct and give direction to Your wonderful people. I thank You for this wonderful privilege, and I know that when I stand before You, I know that I have to give an account what I put into Your thinking. And Father, I pray that I'm able to remove what is not of You and put in Your people's wonderful thinking what is of You. That's my heart, Father. And so, Father, I thank You for this wonderful privilege and time to be with Your people and to share with them. Amen. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. The word for revelation here is the word hazon, which means a prophetic vision. And so in the Old Testament, we know that the Word of God came through prophets. Literally, this word literally means that without a word from God, people abandon themselves to their own ways. In Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And so we know that God wants us to have knowledge. He wants us to have insight because that's what governs our life. And so with that thought in mind, I already quoted Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So if you will, go over to Isaiah 57 again. Isaiah 57. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Isaiah 57, this scripture, this passage was revealed to me recently, and I just got excited over it. It says, the righteous perish, but no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. And the thing that I want to focus in on here is the righteous actually perish before their time. The New Living Testament brings out that they actually perish before the fullness of their time. And, of course, we understand what that means. But I like what he says. Does any man take it to heart? Do you want to really know why? Or do you understand why these things happen? Well, a lot of times, because we can't really give an understanding to the outcome of why some people are not victorious in their walk with God, why some people perish, and we know before their time. Well, we can't give an answer to where they're at, but we can always come from the viewpoint of what God has given us. That means more to me than anything else. What has God placed in the church's hands? What has He given us so that we can fulfill our time? Because evidently He wouldn't say this unless there was a reason to say it. Amen? So He wants us to know how to avoid the subject of not fulfilling the call that God has on our life. What is it that he wants to preserve us for? Well, we can tell you one purpose that God has in mind is that all men would be saved. Amen. God wants everyone to be saved. And that's very important to him. He wants heaven full. I mean, if God had his way about it, everybody that was born into this earth would be in heaven with him when their time is up. But we have discovered something just here recently about being saved and salvation. And it's no wonder, because everything that you look at in reference material, commentaries, everywhere you look, you find that the word to be saved and salvation are lumped together and being co-equal. And I begin to realize that that's not the case, because they are two different words. Now, some people had asked me, Pastor Jan, the word saved is in the Old Testament. Yes, it is. But let me clarify something. The word saved in the Old Testament means to rescue or to deliver you from harm. And that's what God did in the Old Testament. He rescued people. He saved them from destruction. That's part of the history of the Old Testament. But you got to remember that God was dealing with one nation to express his existence to the whole world. And so the concept is, as a nation, the entire nation was accountable to how they interpreted to the world the kingdom of God and his goodness and his love. And so God then was bound to the fact of dealing with mankind through types and shadows of the good that was to come. And a lot of times, because God had to deal with a nature that was contrary to his in mankind. See, mankind in the Old Testament time period, they didn't know sozo means to be saved from sin. And so what God had to do is he had to set up a program to give you the knowledge of what is sin and what isn't sin. And he gave it, called in the form of law. And as a result of giving it in the form of law, if you would agree to the law, even though you could not fulfill it, if you would agree to it, even though you fell short of keeping it, then God honored that. You wouldn't lose your life. But if you rebelled against the law, it would cost you your life. When you outright rebel against it. All you had to do is come into agreement, because we didn't know this until we found it in the New Testament, that the only way you could keep the law is to be born again, to have a new nature that corresponds with God's nature, so that God could develop you through that nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. They couldn't do it in the Old Testament. All they had to do is, when they transgressed or sinned, God would rescue them, save them from harm, because they would offer the right sacrifice to atone or cover for their sin. Are you following what I'm saying? And so sozo, not being an Old Testament word meaning to save from sin, that is a New Testament word. But in the Old Testament, God would require sacrifice to save you from your sins. And so until the New Testament came, well, then, was anybody saved out of the Old Testament? Yes, those who agreed in the Savior that was to come. They could only see it in the future. They themselves knew that they would not see that promise in their lifetime. But as they looked into the future, they knew then that if they believed in it now, it was on master charge. So they were actually saved by credit. But the credit was not paid for until the tab was called up, which was the cross. And so then those who waited in paradise, that region in hell, the center of the earth called paradise, that place that God had put the spirits of men to await until the resurrection of Christ, and they could come out of there. As a matter of fact, they did that on resurrection. They all went into the streets and everything and got the whole city upset because all the graves opened up that believed in Christ in the Old Testament. They were now redeemed from that waiting place called paradise. And I guess that would be a real shakeup, wouldn't it? And anyway, God had to be their soteria. He had to be their protection, their deliverance. See, what people don't understand is backsliding is an Old Testament term. It literally meant that when they backslid, that nation then would not be in a position to what? To be preserved or to be protected or to be saved from harm. Or they would lose prosperity. So what God had to do is he had to choose certain men in the road of time to assist Israel of what was coming ahead that they might need. And one was drought, where the crops would die out. There wouldn't be food. And so God would call upon men like Joseph to preserve that nation, but also the nations calling his man in that would be led by the instruction of the Spirit of God to help preserve that nation. And so what we don't understand is now that we do now understand, I just recently began to understand it, and I was never taught it because they were lumped together. I begin to understand now during the dispensation of grace, which had not been revealed in any other nation, but now Paul was instructed by God to reveal our time period right now, called the age of grace and mercy. This dispensation where men could be changed and transformed into his image, to where men in this time period, better than any other time period, can many be brought in and be saved. Praise God. But in order for that to take place, God had to give us an inheritance called soteria or salvation. And that is not the same as being saved, because both of them have a different responsibility. One was a responsibility of God in the Old Testament, which was to save or to heal or to deliver. You know, but that was transferred to the church, New Testament, this time period that had not been revealed before. Now salvation went from God to the church. And now the church has that position of salvation. And as a result of it, the word now tells us that we have to grow into that salvation. It's a process of time. Well, when I began to see that, I said, well, Lord, well, what happens if a person gets saved and harm's coming his way? He says, that's why I've chosen you to grow into salvation, because I can lay that person on your heart and you could stand in the gap for him and you could exercise your knowledge of salvation over his life. That's your friends, your loved ones, your church. And so I began to understand salvation was given to mankind because of the love of God that God has for man. Amen. And so I begin to see now, wow, salvation is really powerful. Well, how come we haven't seen this before? How come nobody has seen it before? And God told me, he says, many have seen it, but they haven't impacted it on the church over the years because of the great deceiver, Satan himself. But we do have promises in Scripture, I won't go to them all, where it does promise that the light of the glorious gospel will be revealed in the last of the last days. But right now, what we're going through is an identity crisis, I call it. In other words, the church is in that place of being led astray. And how is it led astray? Well, first of all, there are things in the Old Testament, well documented there, that's come over into the New Testament and is accepted. But the problem is, when we've transferred something from the old over into the new, we haven't realized that we have to give a different interpretation of what was well documented in the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, they approached everything from a different viewpoint than you and I have now today. In the Old Testament, see, they looked to God to be their deliverer, their sacrifice. So even their music was geared up that God would come and deliver them. Well, because it was well documented in the Old Testament, praise and worship then became into the New Testament. But the problem is, we still have many of our songs that relate back to an Old Testament concept that God is going to help us. Well, I got news for you. Our deliverer has come. You know, I was listening to this one song, Our Deliverer. And as I was listening to it, I loved the song because I loved the musician and I loved the music, and I was worshiping God. And God was trying to get a point across to me how we've been indoctrinated to be led astray in our understanding of what our salvation is about. And the Lord stopped me right in the middle of that beautiful song and said, "Have you listened to the words?" Now, God wasn't looking to discredit the musicians are you following? He was trying to get a point across to me how we're indoctrinated with the wrong concept of what God has already provided for us in salvation. See, salvation was complete in God in the Old Testament. Can any of us disagree with that? Is there anything in the Old Testament that God was not their Savior? That comes off the word soma, which means to preserve them physically, body. Right. Well, you and I should say no, because he was our deliverer, our soterior, well documented in the Old Testament. Then anything we need in the Old Testament, he was there to provide it, providing we were not out of fellowship or backslid. Right. See. Well, in the New Testament, the concept is salvation or soteria is now been put into the hands of the church. Voila. Is there anything that God did not see that we had need of that he already did not provide? Voila. Now, we wonder why some people die before their time. Well, somebody's got to start laying this thing to heart. What kind of a position were they in? Who taught them? Who instructed them? Who laid it to heart to see to it they would get the information they need so they can complete and fulfill the calling in their salvation as a result of being saved? Well, it's us people. We're the ones that got to come to the light of it. But we have someone called Deceiver, Satan. Now, I've been reading and praying in tongues for the last year and a half, the book of Revelation, because it always scared me, that book, because it just didn't make any sense to me. Well, I've learned one thing. I learned that that book was meant for me to know. Why do I know? Because John, the Apostle John, is a not only a member of the dispensation that we're a part of, but he saw everything in the book of Revelations by being there as the representative of the church. And so what he saw, the Lord said, you're going to put into a little book and you're going to give it to the nations. And what it was what he was seeing. And he was told to eat it. That literally means be consumed by it to understand what it means and write it down. And so we know then that everything John saw, God wanted us to see. Amen. So people who say, well, it'll all pan out, it's pan trib or whatever it is. Listen, they don't have a ghost of an idea about the love of God or where God has placed us in our present dispensation and how we're to save people and then to exercise our salvation. And it's been messed up by the church. The church through the road of time has gotten things all messed up. And so we've come up with songs, Our Deliverer is Coming. You know, and we're sitting there and we're singing this hopeful thing that our deliverer will come, who will deliver. He came! See, we've slipped our wheels somewhere. He came! He brought deliverance to us. Why? Soteria, salvation. It's yours and mine. All we have to do is reach out and demand and claim our rights and what He has already given us. And if we don't do it, it don't get done. Can't say it any more simpler than that. And so I begin to realize that because of this, I even saw some things in the Old Testament where the Old Testament believers begin to prophesy about the salvation that would come to us. That would come to us. That they did not have a part in the Old Testament because God held it into His right. But we would receive that same position. But I begin to realize what was the difference of why we're not as victorious as we are. And I found it in the book of Revelation in chapter 12. Because I've been reading from chapter 1 all the way through to the end of the book of Revelations. And so I've been getting bits and pieces of the understanding of the book. And this weekend was probably one of the greatest victories that I had seen on the book that I've ever had in my life. And I was sharing it with John. John said, well, boy, I'll tell you, that opens the whole understanding of a whole lot up. And one of the things that God told me is that Satan wants us to believe that one day we're going to have. He always puts it off future tense. Our faith is not but based upon one day we're going to have. One day I'm going to get my healing. One day, through a sovereign act of God, I will receive. You know, Satan wants us to believe it's up to God. It's up to God to predict what you are going to have. And He'll do anything to keep us in that vein of thinking. He doesn't let us know, hey, if you would dig into the Word a little deeper, you ain't going to get that from the devil. If you would dig into a little bit of the Word there, you would find out why I'm called the Great Deceiver. Why? Because when you dig into that Word, He wants you not to find truth. And so that's why the Word is very clear that in the latter times, He says, more misleading spirits will come forth. That's why He says more doctrines of demons and devils will come forth. Why? He says because this is what the church is going to be turned into. We don't want to go there as a church. You and I, as believers, we want to create the job of bringing people into salvation or to be saved. To be saved and then instruct them in their salvation. You know something? When I was born into my household, everything in my household belonged to me because I was born into it. It's the same with God. When you've been born into His household, everything that He has is yours during this time period. The only way that He's going to keep you from enjoying what you've inherited into your household from your parents is never find out what your parents are like and what's available in your household. And that's what salvation does. You know, another thing that God told me about the enemy, He wants you to always keep looking to see if a person remains saved. You know, it's not our business to see to it that a person remains saved. But what is our business is we need to rather be looking at, are they remaining in a place of growth into their protection, their safety, their prosperity, to be able to, for them to rescue, deliver, or save someone else? See, from danger or personal enemies, without being free, how can we help others? That's why we have to realize that God has given us already everything whereby we may be free. But we have to grow into it. And so in the meantime, what about those who have not grown into their salvation. Thank God we have intercessors. Thank God we have this inward anointing called Holy Spirit to help assist us. I mean, if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, man, we'd have to rely on man. I don't mind men teaching me. And I know that if there's a ceiling on them, I'm going to inherit that ceiling. But if I listen to men who can take me to a certain place in the kingdom of God, then that's my first step to the next step. But eventually what happens in your steps, you have to then get to a place in your life where you have to reveal on the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. Hello. Now, getting back to understanding something, if there's so much distractions in the world, then what we have to do is we have to begin to give identity to what would distract us from what Christ has already given us. Now, I'm not talking about being so technical that you can't be gracious to other people when they say things or do things wrongly. I mean, nobody would want to have anything to do with you because you would be coming from the viewpoint of knowledge all the time and not from the concept of love. And so you won't edify or build the church. The more I'm beginning to see the reality of what God and the position of what God has put us in, the more critical you could become in the mistakes of other people. And you can't afford to let yourself get there because God is always love. And if He gives you more light, it is not to be more critical of people. It is so that you could be more compassionate for people and give more understanding of how important it is that they remain in place with God so that they can grow into their place of victory as well for the sake of others. And so we can never afford to let ourselves ever get into a position to think, thank God that if it wasn't for me and my ministry, where would people be? That is a place of pride. I found that many great men in the past who had died before their time, God took them out. Or allowed them to be taken out. Why? Because they got to the point where they thought their ministry was more important than the Word of God working in the hearts of the souls of people. You can never afford to get there. You can never afford to say, well, I'm a member by His Word. Because we stick with the Word. Well, aren't you a sweetheart? I'll tell you what, it don't matter what I am approving of from this pulpit. It really matters what are you receiving for your own victory. Because you're responsible before God. I hold the responsibility of what I put into you, but you hold the responsibility of the way that you arrange your thinking. Now I want to show you something that God showed me in the book of Revelation just here this weekend. That this chapter stunned me. I was taken in. I couldn't figure this out because of the way it was worded. But then as I was seeking God, I said, God, help me to be able to put this book together in my right mind. Give me something. I know that there's an inward anointing working in my heart where the Holy Spirit. But Holy Spirit, You're my mentor. You're my teacher. You know, show me how it would be best for me to begin to work through this book. And thank God for humility. I'm bragging on myself. Many people could tell me many things, but if it don't click on the inside, I'm going to remain humble. I'm going to hear what people have to say. I'm going to accept what they have to say, but I'm just going to keep real close to the Holy Spirit, because if what they're saying will begin to click, then I'll listen. But if it don't click in here, there's something that the Lord is trying to get across. And with the book of Revelations, I have learned that you've got to pay attention to every verse. And there's something that I had learned in Romans chapter 12. You know, I was reading this book called The Wrath and Glory, probably one of the best books that I've read on Revelation. I don't agree with everything in there, because I could tell that the person himself did not have the full understanding of soteria. But that did not mean that I would cut off his time spent in that book, which is 30 to 40 years. You got to respect the guy that put his mind to that. So I knew he had a lot of good input or good to say. And one of the things that he bore witness with John and I were seeing is that in the book of Revelations, it's not in chronological order. How many of you read the book of Revelations and realize that? It's not in chronological order. Well, what he brought up is he said one way that you have to understand about the book of Revelation is that God will jump forwards and he'll jump backwards. Because he's making a statement. He'll jump forward and backwards. And so when he brought that out and showed us in scripture and everything, I went, wow, I knew that was right. John and I right away said, boy, that solves that mystery. Which helped me understand the book in Revelation chapter 12. Now follow me. This is real close. Because what has this got to do with where we're at? I'll tell you why. Because what we read in chapter 12 tells us something very interesting of what God is going to do in that last 7-year period to the inhabitants in the earth. And here's what God showed me about understanding that book. The 7-year period of tribulation is a time period where God is going to deal directly with men to receive him through the flesh. The word soteria in the book of Revelation is only mentioned a few times, but it's in reference to our time period or the place that God is in. And what I mean by that is that I begin to see very clearly what you and I have inherited during our dispensation called salvation. We are in a very powerful position for us to grow in to the greatest strength that we could possibly ever know. Amen. And I caught it in chapter 12. Here's what God showed me about that book. He says, to understand that book, number one, you have to understand the love of God. You have to know it. And number two, you have to view it from the present day ministry of Christ. And while you're doing that, you have to understand that you have to see God speaking to the inhabitants of the earth during that time period, what he wants them to see. Now watch this. Revelation 12:1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven. Notice the word heaven. It is singular. And in the Greek, it's singular. It didn't say in the heavens, which includes third, second, first. This is singular, and in the Greek it is. And whenever you find the word heaven singular, it is referring to the heaven around the earth, where inhabitants could look into that heaven and see something. And when I caught that, and when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you have to understand what God wants men to see during that time period. Why? Because everybody is in a different channel. Can you imagine how many channels are going off in the minds of the entire earth? We couldn't even number the channels. You think you got 602 channels. Try the channeling of men in their thinking. So God has got to do something during that 7-year period to get everybody on the same page. And it all centers around the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. This is the love of God. Now a great sign appeared in heaven. Actually, in the Greek, this is what it is. Now, a great sign was seen in heaven. And that word seen is referring to somebody seeing it. A woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. You know what he's doing? Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in no pain to give birth. Now, I'm not going to go and explain that verse up, but I understand what it means now. But notice what he's referring to. He's referring to the nation of Israel, from whom Christ came from. Now, here you are, the Jewish nation who's rejected Christ. You're seeing this now in the heaven. You are seeing this. Why? Because the Lord Jesus wants the inhabitants of that time period in that place. He wants to do something for the inhabitants of the earth. You know what he wants to do? He wants to confirm why he came from the nation of Israel, and the reason why he came and selected that nation. One of the reasons why is because of the fall of man and the person we call the great deceiver, who is Satan. And so what God does is he begins with that nation, which the Gentile nations and the Jewish nation are seeing this in the heavens. God's showing it to them. Why? Hold on. And another sign was seen in the heavens. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, which when we read upon a little bit later, you'll find the same statement coming up. Why is he saying that? Because when they are seeing this in the heaven, they're going to see the nation of Israel that was, and they're going to see Satan presently as is in them nations. Because you got to realize, he's wanting the inhabitants to see what's going on. Now, why am I saying that? We get ready to do some shouting at the end of this message. Watch this. And this great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head, really described the position that that nation is in presently in tribulation. And his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven. Now, this verse is talking about eternity past. When Luke 10:18, he talks about Satan being cast out from heaven. And what he's doing, he's now exposing somebody. Who is he exposing by this, what they're able, the inhabitants of earth are able to see in the heaven? They are now seeing, for the first time, the real culprit behind the reason mankind did not fall into salvation, but into deception because of Satan himself. Now, this chapter begins to expose Satan from the church age, from tribulation to the present, the New Testament place. And he comes down and he talks about verse 10 and 11. He talks about how our generation, our time period function and operate. And notice it, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. That is our time period. Now notice verse 12. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. What? And I'm sitting there and I'm telling, Lord, now when the dragon saw that he had been cast, what? Didn't he know he was cast to the earth? He didn't know that he was going to be exposed to the earth. That's what it meant by him being cast to the earth, is literally when the inhabitants of the earth looked up and saw the operation of everything that was taking place, And the culprit behind it was Satan. Satan was exposed to the inhabitants of the earth. So what did he have to do? This is in the middle of tribulation. He had to come down from heaven, the outer atmosphere, and move into the nations as that great white dragon. And he had to seize the moment because now he was exposed by the kingdom of God to the whole world. Yep. That he was a culprit behind everything. And so he had to come down and work into the nations again to try to get as many people to take out as possible. Now, one translator said, while he was trying to overthrow God, he was already overthrown during our dispensation. If you're in Christ, you have authority over him. We got scriptures that says it. Well, why aren't we all walking in our victory? Because not everybody has grown into their soteria, their salvation and protection. And so now Satan is exposed to the whole world. He's the culprit. He is the devil whom many, even believers today, are not believing there's a real Satan or hell. There are some believers who believe he will ultimately be saved. Duh. Why? Because we're all looking at the wrong channels. We're all looking at different channels. And so he knows that he's now has a short time. And so now he begins his work. And God goes on to say, though the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, I do believe that that was the time period that the nation of Israel will be preserved by the nations itself. And one of those nations is the eagle called America. And America is still linked to that nation. But you know the beautiful thing about this is we have this fear that Israel will be destroyed. Don't worry about it. Here it says it doesn't. Matter of fact, it says the devil himself takes a flood and pours it out on that nation and the nations rise up and help Israel. The devil is not going to take Israel out. And he's not going to take all the nations out. Why? Because first of all, God himself made the whole story in heaven appear so the inhabitants can see it. Why? They can't go to a Bible and get the revelation. So God's going to assist them. I always wondered, man, would I receive Jesus during this time period? Well, I'll tell you what, if I looked up in the heavens and saw the whole story written before me, that would convince me it's going to cost me my life, but I think I'll go that route. And of course, throughout Revelation, it builds. But notice what he said, the thing that I wanted you to get a hold of. He says, where is that place? And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angel fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in the heaven any longer. So the great dragon was called out. That serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And that's referring to the time period where just before God manifested himself through that nation of Israel and began to work through it. But they rejected the Christ that was behind the nation of Israel. But then he goes on and he says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. What? When the devil was cast out, notice what he say. Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not look. And all of this is referring to the present church age. That was all exposed in the heavens for the inhabitants to look at that and say, my Lord and my God, it was centered around Jesus. Yes, amen. I'll tell you, listen, you ain't going to get one over on God. And what happens that last 7-year period? Satan's going to be exposed. He has to do a real quick work, Satan, because now he's exposed as being the culprit. And so he's going to come down and move through men and get men to agree with him. But I'll tell you what, people, it's about time you and I get heads up just off knowing this. We overcome him by the word of God and the word of our testimony. That's reflecting to our time period. We don't have to put up with his deception. No, we just have to realize if we're in a fallen world and staying out of his system, staying out of it, staying in the system of God. How do I find the system of God? His love. His love is his system. That's God's system. You interpret him by his love for humanity. And it doesn't stop even during tribulation. It doesn't. During tribulation, he's still reaching out for mankind that rejected him. I'm telling you, you cannot stop the love of God for you or man. You are important to God. You are precious to him. The trouble is, we just have to get the mind of God, how he's going to look to help people, to help them. We've been robbed of our authority that has already been given. We should not be led astray to go down the wrong path, especially our freedom from sin. Plus the many errors of our translations and from the original text into our languages. There's even many errors there where men have opened doors that was never there and actually closed doors that were there. The only going to heaven that makes things better is a lie of the enemy. And that is what the church that I first came into, that was what, well, they really are healed now. They went to heaven. They have their greatest victory now. They're finally at peace. Listen, what does that do for the rest of the church? Huh? No, just getting to heaven is not worth it all. It's worth it all to recognize what God had given you now. Amen. And what you can walk in now. But the problem with this kind of doctrine, what I'm teaching you today, guess whose responsibility it is? Take your finger. Come on, let's see your finger. Let's do this together. Amen. You're not above me. Got it? You got this finger? Say, mine. It's our responsibility. Now, if we neglect our soteria, que sera, sera. That's why Paul kept saying, listen, if you don't follow the leading of the Spirit, you know what could happen to you? You could die before your time. Listen, the advantage that Satan has over you is his ability to deceive you. That's all he has. He has authority over this fallen world, but he loses that authority when that 7-year period breaks out. And then he's exposed by God. He exposes him several times in the heavens, where people see this. That's why in the Greek I love, was seen. And that's referring to not a mind thought, because it's a different word. He's saying they literally see this with their eyes. Not only is he recognized where he's presently at with those seven nations, but they also recognize that he was the one behind going after Israel, because out of Israel came that child. See, God exposes him for who he is and for Christ who he is, because the whole book is about a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you're seeing this, what are you going to do with reincarnation? That's a deceiving doctrine. What are you going to do with Muhammad? What are you going to do with Buddha? What are you going to do with these when you see it written in the heavens? the entire planet seeing this story. Do you know that the heavens now declare, it's in star form, they declare the redemption of Christ. You don't know that until you know how to read the stars. A man by the name of Bullinger has a book out called Redemption in the Stars. And he shows you in detail Sagittarius, the bow drawn back, aimed right at the heart of Scorpio. The virgin birth. All of these. Man take it for horoscope. Thank God that God can get this confusion out of us. Thank God he can get the confusion out of the inhabitants of the earth during that 7-year period. Father, I thank you for your word. We're going to open this up more and more, understanding our soteria, our salvation. Father, we want the enemy to know that we're not waiting on God because God waited on us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, a dear lady was telling us, I don't know if she's, yeah, she's here. Remember you were talking about those medications? You know, when you were giving your testimony, you know what God said to me? Are you ready for this? You know how for years we've always been indicted because we turned to natural means for our help rather than this faith thing? God spoke to me when she was saying how those medications like to kill you. This is what God said to me. He said to me, that is why when you turn to natural means to understand, I don't reject you because you do. He says, but you need more of the leading of the Spirit when you rely upon natural means than you do the revealed will of God.
Amen.
So when you have the revealed will of God in your life, you can act on that if you want to. But let's say that you don't know the revealed will of God for your life and somebody else. You can pray that that gets exposed to them. But in the meantime, God will lead someone to a specific doctor or to specific medications. He's not opposed to it. Are you following me? But eventually, God wants you to learn to depend upon His revealed will. You haven't done your any disservice to God by turning to natural means that don't stop God at all, that assists God in leading you to do that. People, I've heard Christians tell me they've been led to certain doctors, and I found out that is the best doctor in town for them to be led to. God knows good men of God. God knows doctors that are saved. God knows doctors that are believers. But you have to be led to that specific area. You have to be led about certain medications that you take. Without God's leading, you might go down the path she went down and cost you your life. Whenever you try to rely on natural means, you're taking a chance with your life. You need being led of the Spirit there more than looking at the revealed will of God and acting on it. If you look at the revealed will of God and act on it, you will not be brought to shame. I can't do it like Kenneth Hagin. Stand up, everybody. Thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being my leader. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading me into truth and righteousness. Thank you, Holy Spirit, to inoculate me against deception. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being my mentor, my paraclete. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I just found out recently through a word study on comforter. Are you ready for this? When I was looking up the term for comforter, in the early stages of Christianity, when the writers or theologians were interpreting our Bible from the Greek to the English, or, you know, in the language we understood, the word comforter was not to console. It was not the term we are accustomed to. The word comforter back then didn't have that connotation that he would comfort you. The word comforter, when Wycliffe did his translation of the Bible, those earlier translations, the word comforter was not consoler. You know what it was? Are you ready for this? I couldn't believe it when I was reading. The word comforter back then means one who makes you strong and victorious. We are the ones who have demoted that the ability of the Holy Spirit by adding our interpretation of the word comforter. It was not known as a consoler. It was known as one who makes you strong and victorious. That's his input. Boy, I tell you what, our church history has got to get off the time slot and get us back onto the Word of God. Hallelujah. And let it interpret its victory to us, because it's victorious. It's victorious because it reaches out in the love of God for all of mankind, no matter what dispensation you have been in or are presently in or in the future. It's the love of God that reaches out for men. Aren't you glad? Are you guys glad? Father, as we now close this service, I owe him 5 more minutes, so I got to cut back next. But Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, if there's anybody here that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life, they're in a dangerous, vulnerable position. Father, let them come out of the world and in the kingdom of light, so that the God of this world cannot blind their minds, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel. Father, you have given us soteria, the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus, so that we don't have to put up with deception. We can come into that place of victory. So Father, this morning, if there's anybody here that has never given their heart and life to Jesus and would like to, we are opening the door right now for them to come boldly to the throne of grace and find help and mercy in timely need. Father, if they've never said the sinner's prayer, never denied that place, hallelujah, then they need to, Father, for you to help them. And Father, if they've been saved but have been out of fellowship with you, not realizing what it means to be a part of the body of Christ, and in that place of fellowship, Father, we ask that they would be willing to restore that position with you today. We will pray for them. Not that they would re-save, but Father, that they would rededicate their life by our prayer of agreement with them to assist and help them. And Father, If anyone is struggling with addictions, with sickness and disease, and want to be free, Father, that's available to them today. Today is the day of their salvation. Father, let them come forward for prayer. Hallelujah. So with everything that I just mentioned, feel free to come forward right now. Anyone. Hallelujah. Come forward right here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Yes. Don't be ashamed. I'm going to tell you, people, this is what it's all about, our message. Amen. Sometimes we just have to put our foot down. Isn't it good news to know that God puts up with us in spite of us? How many times do I got to go forward? As many times as you please. As many times as you please. Right? Yep. At least you're going forward. It's the people that exit during the message that I get concerned about. Anyone else would like to come up here? Anyone else? If you're not here, then we can't pray for you. But if you're here, we can pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These two little babies. I dedicated you both to the Lord and you're still around. You guys are awesome. You know what? You're awesome. You're probably more perturbed with yourself than anything else. But you know, that's the love and grace of God. Problem is, you got too many people praying. That's the problem. When you start understanding this doctrine, you ain't going to go nowhere. You're going to be found out. God's going to take one look at you. Okay, hey, Mr. Butler, come here. You see that person over there? Yeah. I'm going to start having you pray for him. Oh, another one to my list. Yeah. Because we're made for victory. You know, we're designed for victory. It's the people we run into that don't help us. Amen. We're designed for victory. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to do something a little different this morning before I let you go. I want some of you that have been struggling with answering your call that God's called you to and you're not doing it. Get up here. You excusers. Get, she switched. I want to hug you. He's so cool. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what? You know your calling. But you keep getting tripped up. The Lord told me to tell you, you know what stumbling block is what causes you to trip. Kick it out of the way. And He'll do a great work through you. You have many giftings that God can use. Hallelujah. And He wants to use them. The thing is, your heart's crying out for the very thing He wants to do for you. Quit crying out for the thing He wants to do for you and start doing what He's told you to do. You got that? Amen. Because He has a wonderful call on your life. Hallelujah. Come here, you guys. Come here, you bunch of doers of the word. Are you guys going to be doers of the word? Hallelujah. Say this with me. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Oh me. Oh my. I am going to be a doer of what God called me to do. It's about time I kick myself where I shouldn't be kicked. You know, you guys can answer your call. There ain't nothing stopping you. But you. What? You don't understand what the devil has done. Shut up. The devil is a deceiver. That's all he is. He's a loser. I mean, if he can do that during that 7-year period, expose him for what he is, no wonder he comes down to the earth. Didn't say God threw him out of the heaven. He came down. Why? He was exposed. He didn't want the world to know that he was behind everything. That wakes the inhabitants of the earth up. Oh my gosh, I've been a companion to that idiot. Well, it says the world's going to look narrowly upon him. Do you know how many people are going to get saved during that time period when God shows that sign in the hand? Hey, I'll tell you what, any preaching that we do today, could it have that same effect? Uh-uh. No, it can't. Because the only people who are left are the ones who rejected him. And when they see that physically, see it with their eyes, there ain't going to be no doubt who's in charge. Satan is a loser. And he lets the inhabitants of that book of Revelation, he lets them know that if you stick with that, compadre, God is an all-consuming fire. And here you are, ministers of the gospel, and you're sitting there arguing with yourself when the God of this world says, you need to jump in and start getting people saved and healed and delivered and set free. I like what one person said. He said, if we'd quit fighting amongst ourselves, we might get a shot at the devil. Right? You know what? I had to make a doll that looks just like Satan and sell it as a punching bag. For those believers that are having a hard time dealing with the adversary, punch it out. You know, I was looking for a real prophetic vision from Kenneth Hagin so that I would just be elated and have direction and everything. He lays hands on me, gives me a prophecy. You know what it was? Just laugh at the devil. Just laugh at the devil. I was so busy crying over him, I forgot to laugh. God always knows what we have need of. Okay. Let's get dismissed, or I'll owe you too much time. Father, I thank you for your wonderful people. May they go their way and may they take their place of complete victory in their salvation. Amen. I have salvation. It belongs to me. No other time period will it be offered. But it's mine. Woo. You've inherited salvation.